The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glidewell. It's Commerce Championship Week in college football, as well as the ACC Big Ten Challenge and the Big East Big 12 battle in college basketball. We'll cover that and a whole lot more. Now let's jump into AAA. The first story we have today is ESPN has announced the ACC Challenge for men's basketball, as well as women's basketball, beginning in the 2023-2024 season. This will mark the end for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, as well as the SEC Big 12 Challenge. What do y'all think about this for ESPN and these two conferences?
I think it's awesome. We're going to be able to, you're going to get to see matchups that you would never be, you've never really seen. You get to see some, you know, rivalries take into some play, you know, talking about the Florida State, Florida, talk about Clemson, South Carolina, being able to see these type of rivalries plus matchups that, you know, might be really fun, especially with the SEC getting better and better at men's and women's basketball and the ACC having powerhouses like they've always had. I think it's a great move and a cool move for the future.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, you definitely look at how the SEC and Big 12 Challenge has gone over the past few years. You definitely had very exciting games throughout the years with that. But now you had the opportunity to go and play these big ACC blue blood schools, North Carolina and Duke. And, you know, it's a challenge, but you love to see that kind of competition. Alex, what do you think?
I think it's a great thing for both of these conferences. You know, the ACC has always been great. And, you know, the game this weekend with Alabama-UNC, which we'll cover later, it really shows how good that battle can be between these two conferences. Looking forward to that between different schools and seeing these rivalries renewed. All right, the second story we have today is three universities have found their head football coaches. One of them is not Auburn, sadly.
Oh, my goodness.
Nebraska has named former Carolina Panthers head coach Matt Rhule as their next football head coach. Arizona State has named Oregon offensive coordinator Kenny Dillingham as their next football head coach. And Wisconsin has named Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell as their next head football coach. What do y'all think about each of these hires?
I think each hire presents a pro and a con to each of them. I think Matt Rhule, I think that fit is very interesting. I don't know how it's going to work, but I think it could work for the future. You know, we saw his success at Baylor, obviously, but then wasn't able to sustain that success in the pros at Carolina. So I think it'll be cool to get him back in the college ranks. And then for Arizona State, hiring the youngest coach ever to be a head coach with Kenny Dillingham, who's been, you know, all over the place. He was at Arizona State as an offensive assistant back in 2014 to 2015, and then Memphis, and then Auburn, and Florida State, and Oregon. So he's been all over the place. Good to see him to get a head coaching job now. And then Luke Fickell, I think, is the best hire so far yet by Wisconsin, getting him from Cincinnati. I think that's a great fit and a great hire. What about you, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, what jumps right off the page is, you know, Matt Rhule coming off, you know, a horrible career with the Panthers. We know how Nebraska fans have certain expectations for their head coach, you know, how harsh they were on Scott Frost coming in. And now they have Matt Rhule coming in. I believe he's on an 8-year contract. Obviously, I don't know if he'll last that long. I really don't think that it's the best fit for them. Honestly, the best fit is Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. It was a crazy hire to me. I think that they'll be really successful over the next few years. Alex, what do you think?
I think the Matt Rhule hire is going to be really interesting, like y'all said. In each of the years he's been a head coach, first years at Temple and Baylor, he went 1-11. So it's going to be a lot of patience for that Nebraska brass there to just be patient and let him build that program. But his records against these top 25 opponents has not been great as a head coach in the past. So it's going to be interesting to see how we can improve Nebraska and bring him back to prominence like they were back in the 90s, I believe, before I was born. But Kenny Dillingham, interesting to see him leave Oregon so soon, but he really made that offense great there at Oregon with Bo Nix. So it's going to be interesting to see how him being an alum of Arizona State builds that program and, you know, gets these local guys to come there instead of going to places like USC, UCLA, and the other California schools. And then Luke Fickell, I was really surprised to see he chose Wisconsin. He had a lot of good offers last year, like Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So kind of surprised that he took the Wisconsin job, but I think it was that time where, you know, he needs to take a job now or he's going to lose that opportunity. So Wisconsin is a Big Ten job. So he's going to get that opportunity to play that competition. And Wisconsin does have the talent to be successful. All right, Nathan, crazy week in college football. What do you got for us?
Yeah, we knew what we had coming into this week. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. With number 7, Alabama versus Auburn, Alabama ended up winning 49-27. Some key stats, Bryce Young, 20 of 30, 343 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 48 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And then, of course, Auburn with Robbie Ashford, 11-23, 77 yards passing, a touchdown. But he did have 17 carries, 121 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Being at this game, it was everything you ever wanted as an Alabama fan. It was a very electric environment. There's a lot of passion, of course, with every Iron Bowl, but especially with the season Alabama has had, for the fans to come out and have this support for their team, even with, you know, the kind of downs we've had, was very cool to see. Of course, Alabama got started right off after Auburn had scored, and they came out and punched it in. I remember first touchdown, Bryce Young running it in, scrambling. He did a great job improvising as usual, you know, usual things you expect from Bryce Young. But I'll tell you, watching Robbie Ashford make plays with his feet and being able to elude a lot of defenders, and, you know, knowing that he has the build to be able to be one of those running quarterbacks. Gray, I know you've watched him all season, and I know you're not impressed with what he does through the air, but what does he do on the ground that, you know, brings promise to next year for this Auburn team?
Yeah. Well, he showed, just like you said, he showed that he can improvise, and you know, that's a big pro with Bryce Young, especially last year when he won the Heisman, is his ability to make plays. And Robbie showed that in this game. You know, the one play that really stuck out to me outside of his, you know, 121 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns rushing was a play that he fumbled the snap, had to turn around to go pick it up, and then elude Dallas Turner on a 4th down to go make a throw downfield, which is a good throw, just a good, better defense on the catch. And Corey Moore wasn't able to pull it in. I just remember watching that play because I was at this game too. And again, very impressed with Alabama and their environment in this game. But it really does show promise for somebody like Robbie Ashford last year, especially considering what we found out in the post game, that he's been dealing with multiple different injuries throughout the season, starting in the Missouri game, which was his first start. I talk about an MC sprain, a shoulder problem. He had a fractured finger. He had a knee problem. There were days where he didn't get any night sleep due to the pain. And there were also games where he wasn't able to throw until game day. And we believe, you know, when Holden Gariner was announced as a starter before the Arkansas game, but back before Brian Harsin was fired, a lot of that, what we believe is the social media and the War Eagle Productions team was told that Gariner might have to start because Robbie can't throw the ball. And Robbie ended up having almost 300 yards throwing in that Arkansas game. So it shows his toughness. It shows his want to be that guy. It shows how athletic he is. I think there's great promise, not only with Robbie Ashford, but also in that backfield with guys like Jarquez Hunter and Tank Bigsby having great days as well, rushing the ball.
Yeah, looking at the Alabama offense, I mean, I was trying to figure out in the first half where these formations and plays been at the entire year. I mean, Bill O'Brien was calling these plays that I have never seen, trying to figure out where they were in the Tennessee game when we lost, in the LSU game where Alabama lost. But Will Anderson also had a great game in what was expected to be his final game of Bryant Denny with 2 sacks. So impressed with that. But the defense of Alabama continues to struggle with these athletic quarterbacks, like Robbie Ashford, and the Auburn offense really kind of game planned well, I believe. Even though they didn't win, they still scored 27 points against the Alabama defense. So really impressed with Auburn's offensive play calling, even though they did end up losing. I think the downfall of Auburn that game was their shooting themselves in the foot with these false starts in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then the failure to be able to complete passes in the air and have really short drives. They had to have very long drives, and it kind of took the air out of the stadium and their offensive output there.
That's definitely right.
Yeah, and now we go to the main thing. Auburn still has yet to find a head coach.
Yeah.
I believe Cadillac really did a phenomenal job of coaching in this game, even though they did come up short. And honestly, I think he deserves a job. Gray, is there someone else you'd rather see at this head coaching position?
Due to, you know, what has happened in the past, you know, really not even just the past week, but the past few days, as of the time of this recording, with all the stuff that happened with Lane Kiffin before and after the Egg Bowl, all this stuff that's happening with Hugh Freeze online, with the backlash from the fans and from the boosters about Hugh Freeze, and, you know, Wisconsin and Nebraska and Arizona State hiring their head coaches. But I don't know why you don't think about somebody like Cadillac. I think you're also going to think about somebody like Brian Johnson from the Eagles offensive coordinator, who has SEC experience and ties to John Cohen. You're going to have to think about somebody like Deion Sanders, even though his only head coaching experience is HBCU at Jackson State. I really have no idea. I do think Cadillac deserves to be in that conversation. I don't know if he really wants that type of a job and that type of pressure just yet. I don't think he thinks he's ready for that. I think the fan base does. I think the fan base would rally around him just like they did in the final four games of the season, where it, you know, Auburn looks like a completely different team than they did against Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, and those kind of earlier in the season with Brian Harsin. So it's just about what comes in the future. What is John Cohen going to do here in this next week or so, especially with the transfer portal opening up this weekend during championship week? But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, the clock's definitely ticking on that. And, I mean, with this job comes a lot of pressure. We know that to be true. All right, let's go ahead and continue on to our game of the week. Number two, Ohio State versus number three, Michigan. Michigan ended up winning 45-23. This was a huge game. We knew coming into this, of course, we like highlighted it and all that. But for Michigan to, you know, be the underdog in this game and to come out and absolutely, you know, dominate Ohio State was very surprising to me, especially with Blake Corum being out. I expected them to have, you know, a huge game, but is, you know, limits due to injury. Donovan Edwards ended up being that huge running back for Michigan, and they definitely used him well. And I've been very crucial of J.J. McCarthy and his ability to pass and make decisions in the pocket, but he really proved me wrong this game. Mm-hmm. He went 12-24, 263 yards, and three touchdowns, and he really handled this Ohio State defense well. Gray, what did you see from this Ohio State team to – maybe so instill some confidence that they can make the college football playoff, they can compete against Michigan? Obviously, they did compete, but they came up short.
I was shocked. Like, this was crazy to me. I didn't think the offense, just like you said, I didn't think J.J. McCarthy and the Michigan offense, especially without Blake Corum, I mean, he only had two carries. I thought if you would have told me Blake Corum only had two carries last week, this time around last week, Ohio State wins by 30. But J.J. McCarthy blew me out of the water with what he was able to do offensively. 45 points in Columbus is outstanding. But Ohio State, they're out their starting running back and starting wide receiver with Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Travion Henderson out. But that doesn't – I mean – you've got to score more than 23 points to win. I mean, C.J. Stroud threw 48 passes in this game. That may be a little too much. I know he's like one of the top quarterbacks in college football, but like that is a little much, especially in a game like this. What they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get some help. Talking about the college football playoff, they're going to have to get somebody like USC or TCU to lose. And then you talk about fitting them into that four slot and playing somebody like Georgia in the first round of the college football playoff. And I think that would be a very interesting game, especially if Ohio State is able to get healthy due to them not playing this upcoming week. If they're able to get healthy and get back to what, you know, we've seen from Ohio State all year long, that could be a team that could challenge somebody like the number one team in the country in Georgia. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, Michigan really broken up that game. Lord, broke open that game with some big runs by Donovan Edwards at the end of it. You know, Ohio State really struggled to keep Donovan Edwards contained at the end of the game. So, you know, Ohio State's defense has always been the struggle for them, and it really showed in this game. But like Nathan said, I've been overly critical of J.J. McCarthy, but he chose the game, the best game possible, to come out and show what he can do. And then for C.J. Stroud, you know, he was the probably leading Heisman candidate, and this game really did not help him when throwing two interceptions, one of which kind of iced the game when he was getting sacked, and he just flung it in there and got picked off. Kind of an errant throw. He could have just taken the sack, and they could have continued to play. You know, Ohio State, without their two of their star players, kind of lacked a running back. They had to use a converted linebacker, Chip Traynham, to play that position. And he played well, but they really didn't use that running game, like you said, Gray. So interesting to see how the committee values Ohio State after this loss to Michigan.
Yeah, speaking of other big losses, South Carolina ended up doing it again and beat number 8 Clemson 31-30 at Clemson. This was an 11 a.m. kickoff game and was really surprising for me to see South Carolina really playing well behind Shane Beamer, and they knock off number 8 Clemson in their playoff hopes. And then you had a team like Oregon State going and beating Oregon 38-34, and any chance that Oregon had, which was slim to none, of making the college football playoff, I've really ended there. And then, of course, on Thanksgiving Day, Mississippi State beating number 20 Ole Miss 24-22. That was a great game to watch. Texas A&M took care of number 5 LSU 38-23. And number 6 USC ended up beating number 15 Notre Dame. And number 16 Florida State ended up being Florida. Any of these games really stick out to y'all? I know I kind of skipped over a few, but I mentioned the main ones here.
I'll say, I'll just go with the obvious one here. The Texas A&M scoring 38 points against number 5 LSU shocked me. There's no way. I mean, Devon Achane finally getting back and being healthy and looking like himself, they really used him a lot. I mean, 38 carries, 215 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's what you want to see from your star running back, especially once he gets back healthy after getting hurt right before the Auburn game for Texas A&M. But, I mean, that ended any playoff hope that LSU might have. It was a crazy, crazy game to watch, knowing that Texas A&M has struggled all year, and LSU is probably their second-best team that they've played all year behind Alabama, even though, you know, LSU beat Alabama. But this just didn't look like a competition at all.
Yeah, for me, it was the USC-Notre Dame game. I kind of thought that game was a little bit of a trap game for USC, and Notre Dame was going to maybe sneak out of there with a win. But Caleb Williams showed why he's the leading Heisman candidate and came through with 232 passing yards and 35 yards on the ground with 3 touchdowns rushing. So it's good to see Caleb Williams lead that USC offense to a victory.
Yeah, and you know, as you said, Alex, with C.J. Stroud not doing as well this week, I really think that Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman.
Yeah,
I don't think it's close at this point.
Yeah, I think it's out of default. I don't know who else would compete with somebody like Caleb Williams, especially if they go win the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't help that Bo Nix lost this week either.
Exactly. Yeah, same thing with Drake May in North Carolina.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to some college basketball, shall we?
Let's do it. So, recapping college basketball, I mean, a crazy, crazy week. Obviously, Feast Week, Thanksgiving Week, we see all the early season tournaments, you know, the Maui Jim, Battle for Atlantis, Cancun Challenge, the PKI and the PK Legacy. I mean, it's just a crazy week. You get all kinds of crazy good matchups and fun matchups, and we're going to talk about some right here. So let's start off talking about Alabama's week. So they played in the Phil Knight Invitational out in Portland, Oregon. That's a long way from home. The first game was against number 12, Michigan State, and Alabama ended up winning that 81-70. Big game from somebody like Brandon Miller. Again, 24 points in that game for the star freshman. and moving on to play number 20, UConn. Alabama ended up losing that, taking their first loss of the year, 82-67. Sanogo for UConn was a real plus for them in this game. Brandon Miller was the, you know, one of the only bright spots for somebody like Alabama in this game, and it really was UConn's game to win there. And then ended up playing the number one ranked North Carolina Tar Heels in probably the game of the year. If we have a game that tops this, I mean, I can't wait to watch it. In four overtimes with a score of 103-101 for North Carolina, Caleb Love shot 36 shots and had 34 points. Armando Bacot had 20 and 10. And for Alabama, Mark Sears hit 7 threes with 24 points. And Charles Bediako, I believe, was the MVP of that game. 14 points and 16 rebounds. 8 of them were offensive. And then Javon Quinterly having 21 points as well. What game I know which game y'all don't want to talk about and what to talk about, but what game really sticks out to y'all for Alabama this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start with kind of picking a game that, you know, I usually wouldn't pick, and the win versus Michigan State, because that really set the tone for this weekend. Brandon Miller was all over the place. He looked like that true number one option, and really lit a fire under this young team. And it was a big win. You know, it's a huge opponent in number 12 Michigan State. You're a long way from home, but you want to prove something, and Brandon Miller does a great job of helping them do that. And, you know, another player that I'd really like to highlight here is Noah Clowney. He is all over the place on defense. He is constantly trying to get in the paint, and he's very physical. And this is really what the Alabama team was missing from last year. But to go over the UConn game really quickly, speaking of physicality, they got out physical. UConn proved that they controlled the paint, and they really forced Alabama to shoot from deep, and Alabama could not hit their shots. They were cold all game. We really struggled. We kept trying to force things inside that weren't there. And UConn, you know, is a very, very good team, as we saw from this week. And then, of course, moving on to that huge, unbelievable game yesterday. It was really one of those games where am I really watching this in real time? Because I was stressing out all over the place. Four overtimes is a ton for college basketball. A 60-minute game is pretty much a football game at that point.
Yeah.
But I was really excited to see how well Charles Bediako played. Even with the game lasting that long, he was playing in extra minutes, 44 minutes for the big man, and he was still running the floor. He was hustling, and he had the huge block that really kind of saved Alabama's defensive possession. It was controversial. I believe they originally called a goaltend, and then it was a weird incident on whistle call. But you really look at someone like Mark Sears, who, when Brandon Miller was not able to have an effect on the game, he came out and really took over for this Alabama team. He played 55 minutes and shot 7 from 1 from three with 24 points. It really proved that he is a really good option for this Alabama team. And when people cannot score, there are other options on the floor. I'm going to go ahead and hand it to you, Alex. What did you see from this Alabama team this weekend that proved that maybe they can make a big run this season and later on into the March Madness tournament?
Yeah, so talking about Michigan State game, Brandon Miller, you know, carried that offensive load for them. So good to see that. And, you know, Charles Bediako really didn't play as well as he should have against Sissoko of Michigan State. So, you know, Alabama did pick up that win largely in part to Brandon Miller carrying the load on the offensive end, like I said. But then the UConn game, he once again saw the struggle to guard the big man, Sanogo of UConn. But, you know, in the get a North Carolina game, and it's like a whole different team on the court. You know, they're locking down Armando Bacot in the paint. They're forcing bad shots on North Carolina. But I think the downfall in that North Carolina game for North Carolina was the lack of depth that they have at all the positions. They really don't have another big man to come on to replace Pete Nance or Armando Bacot. I mean, Puff Johnson is the other one, but he's really not a big man to go into the paint and battle it out. But he's got a lot of hustle. But, you know, Brandon Miller struggled in the UConn and North Carolina game. And, you know, the long athletic defenders that both these teams have kind of got all up into him and forced him to take these bad shots. And, but, you know, he did come up big at the end against North Carolina in that, I think it was the fourth overtime, hitting that big three. So it's good to see that him step up at the end of the game when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So moving on to talk about the Auburn Tigers. Auburn played in the Cancun Challenge. You only get two games in the Cancun Challenge as opposed to three in the PKI. So their two games were against Bradley and Northwestern. Bradley, Auburn ended up winning both. They beat Bradley by a score of 85-64. Auburn looked offensively dominant in this game, five players in double digits, and then looked completely offensively challenged in the Northwestern game, only scoring 43 points, but still winning and winning the Cancun Challenge, beating Northwestern 43-42 at the very end, and then came home on Sunday yesterday and beat a really, really good St. Louis team, 65-60, a little bit of a struggle, not as much as the Northwestern game, but proving that the defense has been outstanding. So Auburn in the Bradley game, again, offensively was incredible, shot 47% from three, 56% from the field, had five players in double digits. Alan Flanagan, Katie Johnson, Wendell Green, Jayla Williams, and Janai Broome were all in double digits. Auburn just looked bigger, better, faster, stronger, more athletic, and better in this game than somebody like Bradley. Obviously, Bradley's picked second in their own conference behind Drake. So that could end up being a tournament team, but not a team that's going to compete with Auburn, especially that early. And then Northwestern, you get to play a Big Ten school, and had Big Ten officials in this neutral site game against Northwestern, which was kind of odd. But it was a completely offensive struggle. The only player who was offensively playing well was Jaylen Williams. I think Jaylen Williams ended up winning the MVP of the Cancun Challenge. But he proved that he's the best player on the Auburn Tigers. He can defend any position. He can handle the ball. He can bring the ball off the floor. He's a fantastic rebounder. He's probably our best shooter from the – our most consistent shooter from the outside. And is a fantastic – fantastic defender, whether in the low post or in on the perimeter. And moving on to the St. Louis game. So Auburn ended up winning this game by five. They were down five with about a minute left to go, but showed Katie Johnson and Alan Flanagan showed, we probably shouldn't lose this game. And then just kind of took over at the end. Wendell Green had 22 points, had 14 in the first half, was outstanding. Janai Broome played really well. Jaylen Williams played really well. Obviously, he had 9-7 and three steals. So talk about this Auburn team, guys. Obviously, the struggles are going to continue on offense. And, you know, you have games where when the offense is on, this Auburn team looks unbeatable due to their depth and due to their defense. But the defense from this Auburn team is carrying them. What have y'all seen from the defense moving forward that proves that this Auburn team can hang with anyone?
Yeah, you talk about a time where Auburn's offense keeps struggling and it's really easy to, you know, kind of be disappointed and down on yourself, but yeah, you keep running to the other end of the floor and make defensive plays that really instill confidence in your team. And maybe they don't lead to offensive success, but over time, having that confidence that you have on defense where you know you can get stops and get the ball back, it really helps Auburn out in the long run with being able to, you know, shoot freely. And one of the things is they will end up figuring out their shooting, I believe. It's just going to take time. It's something I've mentioned week in, week out with this Auburn basketball team. It's a very young team, and they'll get used to shooting in this college environment. Alex, what do you see from this Auburn team during – not just this week, but the week before, to prove that they have one of the best defenses in the country?
I mean, they've held these teams to under 70 points, all of them. So, you know, it's really showing how good their defense is. But also, I think for the offense on Auburn, they need to get Janai Broome the ball much more than they already are. He's really should be the focal point of that offense. But their depth is really good, like Gray said. So it's going to be good to see how they can continue to prove themselves. But I don't think we're going to really know a lot about this Auburn team till they get to the conference play, because their non-conference schedule is really a cupcake, let me tell you.
Yeah, St. Louis will be the best team that Auburn plays until the conference play, until you get to the third game in the conference and you get Arkansas at home. But this St. Louis team, like, if Auburn weren't to have the final 8 points of this game, this St. Louis team would have been in the top 20 in this AP poll when it just came out. They're a top 20 KenPom team. They will be a top 6 or 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. They'll win their own conference. They're a good team. But yeah, talking about how this Auburn defense, you know, you've got guys defending on the perimeter. You've got Katie Johnson and Zeb Jasper, two of the best on-ball defenders I've ever seen play at Auburn. Their aggressiveness is just under, like, the foul. You know how there's kind of a stand where if you're too aggressive, you're just going to get fouls nonstop. But if you're just under that, you're going to cause problems for the opposing guards. That's exactly where Zepp and KD are. But then you talk about the racers that you have behind her. I mean, you talk about losing a guy like Walker Kessler last year and then getting Janai Broome, who was just second to Walker Kessler in blocks last year. And now Janai Broome and Dylan Cardwell are two of the top four in the country and block percentage and blocks per game. So I mean, just every aspect of this defense, yes, the offense will come, shots will fall. They're going to figure the offensive, you know, just like Nathan said, we just got to figure things out offensively, but the consistency and the aggressiveness on defense is going to lead to that being a lot easier of a transition. So some other games want to mention real quick, some of the other big games talk about in the Feast Week and other tournaments. The Maui Gym had some great games. Number 10 Creighton beat number 9 Arkansas 90-87. Arizona won that tournament. They beat Creighton in the championship 81-79. The battle for Atlantis, Tennessee won that tournament. Kansas beat Wisconsin 69-68 in overtime. I wonder if y'all saw that buzzer beater. That's an unbelievable buzzer beater. Then Tennessee ended up winning that tournament. In the Phil Knight Invitational, UConn won that tournament, beating Iowa State. Obviously, that was a stacked tournament with Alabama, Michigan State, North Carolina, but UConn ended up winning. And then the Phil Knight Legacy, Purdue won that tournament by beating Duke by 19 in that championship. That had Gonzaga, Xavier, Duke, Purdue, Oregon State. It's a big-time game. So I'll pass it off to Alex to recap the NFL for this past weekend.
Yeah, so our game of the week was Bengals versus Titans. The Bengals ended up winning 20-16. Joe Burrow found wide receiver T. Higgins for a 27-yard touchdown. They put the Bengals up 20-13 in the fourth quarter, and the Bengals defense ended up holding off the Titans for the remainder of the game to secure that win. What did y'all see from each of these teams to prove that they can contend for a Super Bowl this year?
Well, the Bengals, they've got to get healthy. They've got to get Ja'Marr Chase back in this offense. But T. Higgins has proven that he can be a wide receiver number one. And then with the Titans, you just got to get Derrick Henry going a little more. I mean, Ryan Tannehill having 291 passing yards is just gravy to me for that Tennessee offense. You've got to get Derrick Henry rolling. Both of these teams are very, very good. They just got to be better, better, better.
Yeah, and you look at someone like Derrick Henry, who didn't have a big impact with running the ball this game, but he ended up being the leading receiver for the Titans, which we've never seen. He had 79 receiving yards. So it's one of those things where the Titans kind of had to figure it out from the receiving end. And, of course, like, this Bengals team is very, very good. We know what Joe Burrow can do. We know what this wide receiver core for the Bengals can do. And they really took advantage of some costly mistakes by the Titans and took over this game.
All right, Nathan, what do you got for us for the championship weekend in college football?
Well, after a long weekend, we will see Clemson play North Carolina in the ACC championship, TCU playing Kansas State in the Big 12 championship, Georgia playing LSU in the SEC championship, Michigan playing Purdue in the Big 10 championship, Utah playing USC in the Pac-12 championship. That's a huge, huge game right there. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's probably going to be the game of the week. I believe that's on Friday of this week, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if you're an Alabama fan, if you're an Ohio State fan, you're really watching Utah and Kansas State, and you're hoping for these upsets coming up. Yeah. Gray, what do we have from college basketball upcoming?
So Alabama plays South Dakota State on Saturday at 7:30, and then Auburn plays Colgate on Friday, playing against the toothpaste on at 7. And then our game of the week is on Thursday. It's the number 7 Creighton against number 2 Texas Longhorns. That's a big game. Texas getting up to number 2 after North Carolina falling and Gonzaga falling, and then Creighton, you know, having a big week, beating Arkansas. I'm really excited for that game. What game sticks out to y'all this week?
Ooh, that's hard. That's really hard. Of course, you know, our game of the week, but you have a matchup with number 17 Duke versus number 25 Ohio State. It's probably one of those things where Duke has to start figuring out here soon, because they've started to lose some crucial games, especially during Purdue in the tournament this last week.
Yeah, for me, it's number 10 Indiana versus number 18 North Carolina. It's going to be interesting to see how North Carolina bounces back from that loss to Alabama as well as Iowa State.
All right, game of the week for the NFL.
All right, we got Dolphins versus 49ers as our game of the week. Tua versus the 49ers defense.
I like your game right there.
All right, that's all the time we have today. Thank you for listening to Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.